B-Pod Studios.
Ladies and gentlemen, to continue, please warmly welcome with us
Stan and Haney Afternoons, 96 K-Rock.
And they're off. Out of the gate, it's coronavirus, followed closely behind by Wuhan-style lockdown. On the outside, it's global pandemic working hard against flatten the curve. Social distancing got off to a slow start, but he's now neck and neck with flatten the curve. On the inside, it's just a little flu, followed by trust the experts. As they pass the quarter pole, 18 months vaccine is working hard to get past Plaquenil. Dr. Fauci is three lengths back of the leaders. Stimulus plan is trying to squeeze by PPE as they enter the backstretch. But out on the outside, here comes economic shutdown. Open by Easter gets bumped a little bit by Dr. Fauci. Flatten the curve and economic shutdown are battling it out as they head past the half-mile pole. Distance learning stumbled out of the gate, and it looks like he won't be able to get back into it. Not his day-to-day, folks. They are moving at a brisk pace and all clustered together except for my bank account, which is way back of the pack. He might be injured. They might have to pull him up. Toilet paper is nowhere to be seen. He's lost in the pack. As they head into the far turn, it's social distancing still in the lead, but daily briefing is lurking 1.5 lengths back. It's a tremendous race, folks. I've never seen anything like it. And now, cure worse than the disease is starting to make his move. As they enter the top of the stretch, cabin fever is charging hard, but social distancing is holding him off. Economic shutdown is still looking strong, and he's nose to nose with cure worse than the disease. And on the inside, here comes Dr. Fauci, and down the stretch they come. It's social distancing and economic shutdown now neck and neck. I don't believe it. Dr. Fauci is trying to keep pace, and with 1 furlong to go, it's economic shutdown, social distancing, and Dr. Fauci. And as they come to the wire, it's... oh my God, it's no one f***ing knows by a head. Oh, an incredible race, folks. 11-7-12 trifecta pays 117.39.
Ahoy.
Stan the Man.
Hey, Dr. Ray Bastardo. How are you, buddy? Your name has been coming up a lot today.
Well, your name's been coming a lot today.
What do you mean?
I hope it's not you.
What do you mean?
Well, I just saw a patient a couple of minutes ago.
Uh-huh.
Well, I saw him through my phone.
Right, with the video appointment, the
and,
video,
you know,
chat.
I don't make a big deal about it, but somehow or another, he figured out that I treat you guys.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, you might want to turn on your radio, because it sounds to me like one of your patients might have gonorrhea. I said, what the hell are you talking about?
Really? See, you don't
get
to you so quickly.
That's all they're going on and on about is somebody's got the drip.
Yep.
Who is it?
It's our producer, Junior. He's going around telling everybody who will listen, Doc. And Haney and I tried to explain it to him. He's going around telling everybody he's got the drip.
Something well, you've got to get... he needs, tell him to come by... well, no, I'm not in the office. Tell him...
Listen, it doesn't
ideally,
mean what you think it is.
Ideally, I'd give him a shot of penicillin, but that would be far too inconvenient for me.
I don't need that, though.
If he doesn't want to go into a walk-in place, you know what I mean? You go into those places, you got to have somebody translate for you, because I don't know where the hell those doctors come from.
Listen, it means something different now. It means I look good.
Listen to me, son. You need to have a very strong antibiotic.
Yeah.
And you need to cease all sexual activity.
Yeah. And it's and you know, too, Dr. Bastardo, over the years, it's gotten more penicillin-resistant, too. It's a stronger strain than when you and I were, you know, late teens, early 20s, huh?
Oh, yeah. It used to be nothing to knock it on. Now it's a lot more resistant. And you know what? You're gonna experience a lot of nasty things over the next couple of days, son.
I don't have gonorrhea.
How have you experienced the discharge?
Yeah,
yet?
He's got the drip.
No, I don't have any discharge.
What about a burning sensation while urinating?
No, it's just fine.
That's normal for him.
It's fine.
Well, then what in the world made him self-diagnose and tell everybody that he's got the drip?
He's known to self-diagnose. He had something wrong with his gums in his mouth, and he thought he had mouth cancer.
Well, I could have.
He took a week off from work when Haney and I were on vacation because he thought for sure he had the COVID. Came back negative. Week of work.
Well, let me ask you this. did the son of a bitch ever get enough sense to get insurance?
I have insurance.
Well, then you need to come see me because what you are is a freaking gold mine. You're a full-on hypochondriac.
Yeah, but he is going around saying he's got the drip.
And he's awfully naive.
Yes, he is.
You don't go around telling people that you have a sexually transmitted disease. No, it doesn't do wonders for your reputation, son.
It means something totally different now.
Doc, isn't it true, though, that once he comes to see you, Nurse Kunstler will hand him a clipboard and all the people that he's had relations with so that they can be notified, too?
That's absolutely right, and don't take offense that everyone will be wearing gloves when they touch you.
Wait a second. You can't catch gonorrhea just by examining him or coming into contact with him. That's a sexually transmitted disease.
Stan, that's got nothing to do with it. It's just disgusting.
So they.
I mean, you know what I would call it is, you know, the male version of a yeast infection,
yes.
That type of.
Yeah, I'd say worse. I'd say worse.
To be kind, I would say you're going to be very malodorous. And if it hasn't started yet, you're going to feel pain on a level you don't even know yet.
Yeah, you'll think they're cramps, but they're not.
Yeah, it hasn't started.
I mean, seriously, he's got to go and because the Center for Disease Control, they got to notify everybody. He's got to have the clipboard, the address, and then once that he writes down all of those names, those people, because, you know, he travels around in interesting circles. He's, you know, a lot of friends. They're going to have to go and notify them. This could be the start of like an epidemic of gonorrhea.
Yes, if you're uncomfortable doing it yourself, son, what I can do is have my office notify everyone you know.
Male and female.
Yes. Have you broken the news to your mother?
There's no news to break. I do not have gonorrhea.
Oh, you know. Well, obviously, you're sexually active, son.
Oh, obviously.
Yep. Have you broken the news to your mother?
Well, I mean, that's just common sense. That's just respect.
You got to let mom know.
How's she supposed to help you if she doesn't know?
She doesn't know.
Now, this is, you know, we're getting a little into, you know, your private issues here, but you got any guess where you picked up the drip?
Yeah, that would be something that he would also have to ask, and that would be happen at your office, Dr. Bastardo. They would ask him, you know, any idea whom you got it from.
You know, Stan, I got to tell you, especially in the age of COVID, my favorite part of the practice is contact tracing because you find out so much about people.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. How and risky is it for him, doctor, though, if he did a video chat with you with his iPhone and for you to examine him and then he'd have to take a picture of it through his phone and send it to you? That can be pretty sketchy in today's world. Get the wrong hands?
Well, Stan, I'm a medical doctor. How could it possibly get in the wrong
Remember,
hands?
Bastardo, I've played golf with you. We go to that 19th hole, the pictures come out.
Oh, when I go, Stan, you're not going to believe this.
Yeah, you shoot me some good ones.
It looks like cauliflower. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you realize this is a living, breathing human being. And you'd never know to look at them.
Nope. You never know. To look. Well, you know, when somebody's got the drip, you don't. It doesn't say it on their face. They could be innocent. They could be the cute little blonde on the college campus. It could be the bum in the alley. The drip is not selective.
It does not discriminate whatsoever. Yeah. And then, in my opinion, Stan, it opens you up to other things. Because
yes.
If you get the drip, it tells me that you engage in risky behavior, like unprotected sex.
Well, he says he doesn't use condoms. He's a barebacker.
You know, if I could have 5 minutes with him and show him some microscope slides, he'd never do it again.
I know.
I do not have gonorrhea.
We have talked about bacteria, you and I.
Yes, we have. You know how I feel about it.
And you used to laugh at me when I used the term dental dam, but no more.
Right you are. I learned my lesson.
How about you, son? You use a dental dam?
No, dude.
You know, I don't even know what his proclivities are.
Well, he's not your patient. But you know what? You see Haney. You saw him today. You see me. Why not? Would you like him to become your patient?
Stan?
Yes.
I would love for him to become my patient. There's nothing I love more than a hypochondriac with insurance.
You've always told me that. It's a gold mine.
I will send him around to every specialist in the Tri-County area for any reason whatsoever.
And then you get a kickback.
Oh, yeah. What I do with people like him.
Yeah.
I encourage him to self-diagnose.
Yeah, he likes WebMD.
I'm really good at it.
Yeah, that's why I love the internet. I'm a doctor. Well, that doesn't really matter. So what do you think is wrong with you? And then they'll go down all these symptoms. I go, that's a damn fine point. I better send you to a specialist for that, specialist for this, just to be safe.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, hey.
And I get a kickback. What?
I can say
I just have a very good referral network.
Yes, it's a referral system. That's what it is. By the way, how's Haney?
Oh, Jesus. It is like pulling back teeth to get him in the order.
I know he is. It is. It's tough.
And today, believe me, this is a rare occurrence. I was embarrassed.
You were embarrassed?
The upper hand with me.
Feel free. He's out of the room.
And I very much regret that. He got the upper hand with me because I don't know what's going on now. Some brilliant egghead thought it would be a great idea to route all the phone calls for appointments to the Cape Coral office. They don't know what the hell goes on in my office, Stan.
No, of course not. You got a little small office. You got a nurse counselor and a couple of assistants that are almost like family.
And I find out that Haney tried to get an appointment like weeks ago.
Yeah.
And they told him, oh, the only one he's got available is 1:30 on Friday. I never knew about this.
Yeah.
And
you weren't there.
I'm on the golf course.
Yeah.
And then I find out, I tell my girl, I said, I want you to look in the system right now and find out because Haney is a known BSer.
Yup, been doing it for years. You know him as well as I do.
And I want to find out if he just wandered in off the street to try to trick me.
Yeah.
Because I don't do appointments on Fridays.
No, I know you don't. I mean, I know that. I know not to see you on Fridays.
Someone making $12 an hour with zero education tells him to come into the office when I'm not there.
Yeah. So did you wind up doing it like a video call from the golf course with him?
Stan, I had to go in the clubhouse.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a complete cluster.
Hey, I'm sorry. Hey.
Haney don't know how to work a phone.
No, no, he doesn't.
I mean, before all this, I didn't either.
Yeah, but you had to learn, didn't you?
And then I find out that it's like the Jetsons. You can see people now.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's right. That's and why I take a picture there and get the drip picture.
First thing I did once I was aware that he was there is I said, well, even though I'm not there and I'm going to be on the phone, make him wait a good 10 minutes before you speak to him. There was nobody else in the office. No, no need for it.
Still
but,
10
you
minutes.
Know, I like to keep up with protocol. I also like to let him get a little bit nervous before I take his blood pressure.
Yep.
I think it's a more accurate reading.
That's why he wants to. That was one of the reasons I thought, at least I thought, you wanted to make sure you had a cuff on him.
Oh, yeah, but before I put the cuff on, I want to get him good and nervous. Either that or good and pissed off, because I think he knows that I make him wait for no reason.
So how is he? Well, tell me true or false. True or false, Dr. Bastardo, you actually went and told Haney that he's in better condition than I am?
Oh, did
you went and said
that?
He came in. He goes, well, I'll tell you, by the way, Dr. Bastardo says hi and that I'm in better condition than you are. My blood pressure is great. My weight's great. Everything's great. And it's you me pointing at me. You're the one that's not doing good. I'm the one that tries to take care of myself.
Stan, I tell you the same thing when you come to see me. Do I not?
But what about how I'm in better shape than Haney?
Yeah, I mean, it's standard BS, you know, just greasing the wheels, make everybody happy.
Okay, so then what kind of shape is Haney in?
You know, as a doctor, I have to say, I find it highly concerning. He's effing fine.
What do you mean he's fine? You tell me I'm not fine, and you're telling as a doctor, a three-pack-a-day smoker who doesn't take care of himself, and you're saying he's fine.
It flies in the face of all known medical knowledge. He should be a wreck. He won't eat what I tell him.
Nope.
He won't stop with the smoking.
Nope.
He's basically sedentary.
Yes, Steve, from going 10 feet, it exhausts him.
But somehow, all the weights and measurements, all the tests.
Yeah.
He has the heart of a lion.
and he's better than me.
Well, you know, that's just happy talk, you know.
All right. Okay. I'll get Junior in to see you, because the longer he doesn't get this treated, the worse it'll become.
I don't have gonorrhea.
It'll get
you
worse.
You know what? A lot of people, when they say they got the drip and they think, well, you know what? We should pray that it's gonorrhea. It could be syphilis.
Oh, my. It could be. And then that goes to the brain. We'll be back.
96 K-Rock is where we've been for years. It's not a bad place to be. Besides, we've been told we can check out anytime we like. And they said something else, but I forget what it was. Stan and Haney on 96 K-Rock.
Chris Hansen from Dateline NBC, and he's on the phone with us right now. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
We're doing good. And you know what? I'm glad that that you're on, because what you didn't know, while you were vacationing on Sanibel Island, Stan and Haney were staking out. Boy, you put Fort Myers on the map, I'll tell you that.
Well, it was certainly one of our most successful investigations down there.
Oh,
certainly,
boy.
You know, one of the most compelling with the group of guys who showed up.
I guess successful, compelling, that's words, or you could be somebody that lives here and go, oh, boy.
Well, I know, but you could be somebody who lives anywhere. I mean, I think we found that in our investigations.
But,
you know, whether
Chris,
it's
when you did that best of show, you have to admit, you kept coming back multiple times. But perhaps the most shocking and sickening experience was in Fort Myers, Florida.
Well, we kind of had a number of characters there. I mean, we had the guy who showed up with his son.
That was the worst.
Disturbing, and then you know the character who showed up and took off all his clothes. That was certainly startling. And the shirt over the head with the ball cap.
The role play chat room guy.
Yeah, dog.
You know what? But I'll tell you this, and of all the episodes and investigations that you've done, and you can even hear it in your voice and when you've talked about it in the recap shows, when that guy came up with his kid, I'm telling you, I had a sick feeling. It was bad.
You know, these guys I work with on these investigations have been with me, you know, all over the world, you know, in some of the darkest corners, investigating some of the, you know, the worst things human beings do to each other. They're tough guys. You know, they don't get rattled very easily. But this particular sequence brought some of these guys to tears.
Yeah,
I mean, it was just silent in the house when this happened.
But here's the thing, Chris, is that you did the stakeout in Fort Myers, but you were also pointing out, yeah, there was a few of the local people coming around, but some people were traveling 2-3 hours to get to the house.
Sure, and we see that in every investigation. In our last one, you know, which also took place in Florida and Flagler Beach on the East Coast. We had a guy, this guy was a police officer.
That was scary as hell.
In Alabama, right?
Hours.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Brother.
Yeah, 5 hours to get to this house.
Now, obviously what you do is very serious, but the way that you do it, and I'm sure you had to have heard this at least once or twice before, when you really started to become successful, one morning Stan and I were talking, as we are known to do, and I said, you know what? It's really a sad commentary on our society. Chris Hansen has become this generation's Alan Funt.
Well, I don't know about that. It's not so much. I mean, undeniably, there are occasionally humorous moments here, and you know, you have to recognize that. But I think more to the point, you know, I'm really trying to get information out of these guys.
Oh, sure.
Understand what got them there. You know, it's not good enough just to say, hey, what you're doing is illegal, and confront them and chastise them. I mean, that's not my job. My job is to get information out of them. You know,
you have gotten much better at it from the first one to you've become much more comfortable. And I know you've talked about it. You're in a house. You're confronting these people, and you even mention it in your book, To Catch a Predator, Protecting Your Kids from Online Enemies Already in Your Home. You mention, especially in Florida, gun laws a little bit different here. You can carry a concealed weapon.
Sure.
You got these people in this house. You don't know what the hell they're going to pull.
Well, we have a very detailed, you know, security protocol that we have in place, and it's adjusted from location to location, and a lot goes into it, and I'm comfortable that we're all safe when we do one of these things. I mean, we're safe
without,
as we can possibly
without giving too much away. What would have happened if that guy in Flagler had come into that house and pulled a gun on you?
You know, a whole bunch of things would have happened at the same time.
Well, the police are outside, but I'm talking about your personal safety. Would they have been able to get there in time?
Sure, I'm confident in that. But, you know, the other thing is, though, when we even get a hint that somebody carries a weapon.
Right.
And we've had a couple instances, if you'll remember back in Petaluma, for instance, in Northern California, we had a guy who talked online about, you know, he didn't go anywhere without a gun.
Well, he was a soldier, right?
He was. He was a sniper. And turns out, in fact, he had a shotgun in his car. But when that happens, you know, we don't let him come in the house. We just the police will just arrest him before he comes in and prosecute the case from there, because we'll have video of his police interrogation and everything else. It's just not worth the risk to have a weapon in the house.
And now you are moving on and expanding. I thoroughly enjoyed last night's with the Nigerian scams. That highly entertaining, but again, I'm worried about you because these guys are obviously, you know... You had a couple of stumble bums on there, but I'm sure that there are some characters out there that would not take kindly to being scammed themselves.
Well, yeah. I mean, the couple good things for us. One is that we have the element of surprise. So in many cases, by the time, you know, they figure out what's going on, it's over, you know, in terms of how they process the information. And again, even when we were in London and in Amsterdam and all these other places confronting these guys, you know, we have security with us, you know.
Right.
So we're covered on that aspect. But I mean, if you guys are like me and virtually every other American, you've gotten a ton of these unsolicited emails.
Oh, yeah. We joke about it all the time.
And usually you hit delete, and then we find out, you know, we started looking into it, we found out from the FBI that agents estimate that tens of thousands of Americans each year get taken on these deals.
Well, the one guy that you showcased that was like the county treasurer
up in Michigan, yeah.
That's mind-blowing.
Oh, yeah. 70 grand of his own money.
You'd think he'd be smart enough.
And a million of the county's money.
Wow. And by the way, that To Catch a Conman. Yeah, I said, oh, they're switching it. It's To Catch a Conman. It was great. You guys have got this down to almost to a science.
Well, next week we move on to credit card fraud.
Oh.
And identity theft for the next 2 weeks. And this thing, we have not penetrated a syndicate to this level, in some time. It's really eye-opening.
Yeah, well, you're going to make some powerful enemies there, Chris.
Let me ask you this.
I would like to see you move on, keep the same concept and all that, but to bust these fat women that put up skinny pictures of themselves and you bring them into the house. You go, this picture supposed to be you? It's obviously not.
Oh, we'll leave that up to you guys. You can take over that part of the franchise.
Do you feel now, with doing the con man, doing the credit card thing, when you've been doing To Catch a Predator for so many investigations, and you make mention of it sometimes during your show, you got to lay low for a little while because they know ahead of time now. They know ahead of time that you guys are on the scene.
But they still show up.
Well, we do, and we get into the psychology of a predator in the book, and that's one of the things that I really like about it, is that if you take parents and kids inside the mind of a predator, they know how to protect themselves. But I think they keep showing up to get right to the point. For two different reasons. One, I really think that the guys, think that it couldn't happen to them. Dateline can't be everywhere. And the reality is, in 2.5 years, we've done 10 investigations.
And they still show up.
So the odds are overwhelmingly in their favor that they won't get caught by the police.
As they're sitting there talking to you, and they go, oh, yeah, I've seen the show.
Sure, sure.
But
we get guys who talk about it in their chats. Is this Dateline?
Oh, God. It's incredible, and what's scary about it, and you mention it in your book, and you talk about it in the book, is that they're out there, and you when do you protect your kid too much? In the book you talk about it, and I do it. My computer, when my daughter, who's 13, that is in the living room, it's facing towards me, so I can always see what she's doing. But even at 13, they don't understand that there are people out there just ready to jump on them.
Yeah, absolutely. And I have two kids who are 13 and 15, and there was a discussion in our house about the computer and safety, and obviously the kids sit there and watch the shows with me. And I made a remark to my oldest son, and he looked at me and said, Dad, I'm not stupid. I said, well, I know you're not stupid, but you're 15, and your brain works a different way than mine does at 47, so just trust me.
Yeah, I get
when
the
I tell
same
you that,
answer.
That there's stuff out there you got to be careful of. Look, I've looked into the eyes of more than 250 of these guys and talked to them, and I've talked to some of the best and smartest psychiatrists and child advocates and law enforcement officers and prosecutors,
rabbis
in America. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I've taken this information and distilled it and put it in this book in a way that parents can use this information and have a meaningful discussion with their child. Not just do this, don't do that, but to give kids things to think about, things that will stay with them and keep them safer online. And it starts with things as simple as limiting the amount of time your kid is on the internet.
Right.
If your kid's on the internet, if you allow 2 hours a day, just for the sake of discussion, they know that they've got to get down to the business of chatting with friends, downloading music, and checking out the movie schedule for Saturday night. That's less time loitering in a chat room where they can be exposed to a potential predator.
I think one of the most frightening things is when you showed, I believe it was on the last recap show, where you showed the decoy from Perverted Justice, and as soon as they sign on, as a female of virtually any age, the screen fills up immediately.
Oh yeah, 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 and
there's nothing suggestive about their profile or anything of the sort. It's just immediately they're deluged.
And the grooming process that goes on. And see, that's the problem. When you and I were growing up, it was enough to say, okay, avoid strangers, don't take rides from strangers, don't talk to strangers. Today, because these guys are so good at grooming, at tearing down these barriers, you know, the definition of a stranger has changed. The guy who we think is a stranger as parents has now made friends with our kid online. So the child, the teenager, doesn't view that person as a stranger anymore.
And, you know, they
found commonality.
And they play that game of, you know, I'm the good guy. There's a lot of bad guys out there. I mean, right. You hear that all the time from
them. Yeah, you know, look, I have to read every word of every chat, you know, before these guys come in. And it is amazing how many of them follow the same pattern. It's almost like a template. Mm-hmm. And you see this grooming process, and it's very skilled. You know, these guys got nothing but time. You know, they're addicted to this online activity.
How much?
And we've seen guys work it for 30 days.
How much do you think? And they even some of these predators say this when they're being interviewed by you or they're being interviewed by the cops. Is that being on the internet versus a face-to-face, eye-to-eye contact with somebody, they get pretty bold on the internet and feel a lot stronger than they really are when they have to go and confront somebody. It's a lot of. Would you say a lot of it is just their own little fantasy online and they feel safe?
I think that's how it starts. There is anonymity. There is 24-hour day, 7-day-a-week access. And there is an addictive quality to this. And these guys sometimes form, compulsions, and they're in the porn sites and in the chat rooms, and it gets to the point where that doesn't satisfy them anymore. And this line between fantasy and reality gets blurred,
right.
And the next thing you know, they're knocking on our door. You know, I think probably a third of the guys who have surfaced in our investigation wouldn't be involved in this activity had it not been for the internet. And look, a lot of nice people meet other nice people on the internet. There's a good reason to have a social networking site. They're fun.
Mm-hmm.
You can promote yourself. A lot of things to do. But you just have to realize, and it's a critical message to pass along to our children, that not everybody online is who they say they are.
Has there been any one of them that sat down in front of you where they start the crying and I can't believe I've done this? Are there any of them that you actually believe when they're saying, I made a mistake. I've never done this before. I don't know what I was thinking. Or are they all just
any
guilty
that you
as hell?
Have believed?
Well, I tell you what. I think that there are guys, and I can't tell you which one particularly because I just don't know, and there's no way to know exactly. But I get the sense that a handful of these guys, maybe it was their first time,
right?
That they had been chatting and had done this thing before but never had actually gotten in the car and driven to somebody's house. I think that's probably true. And there are some sad cases, you know.
Yeah.
But there are also, you have to look at the other way. And we have this discussion, my producer and I have this discussion all the time. It's like, God, do you feel sorry for that guy? Or, what's going on in his life that got him there? But the reality is that if I hadn't been there,
right,
and the child was there, home alone.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Well, imagine what would have happened.
Yep.
You know, and that's the thing. You know, these guys, most of them don't have, the word predator tattooed on their forehead.
That's the thing. That's a scary thing. And I think that's part of it is that we don't want to believe that that someone who looks like that, that's responsible and has a family and a good job, you don't want to believe they're capable of it.
Well, that's the other area that we get into in the book that we, just haven't had time to devote it to in the shows is this whole collateral damage issue. I mean, what happens
families.
To the wives and the children of these guys after
right.
they get arrested?
Yeah, and you touched on that on the last recap show.
Yeah.
Exactly. In fact, one of the women who's in the book we had on the show, Darlene Calvin, whose husband was this respected dentist, a pilot, this guy who everybody loved, he would call his patients on their birthdays and sing to them. And it turns out that he was involved in this, online activity to the level where he had actually gone on trips with NAMBLA, the North American Manhood.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh my God.
Now
imagine
how she's got to, what she's got to do to rebuild her life after that.
Very serious topic, and we got Chris Hansen on to Catch a Predator, and he's got his book out, Protecting Your Kids Online from Online Enemies Already in Your Home. But I want to at least take a little bit lighter approach to this, because the way that the show's put together, we have somebody...
We have a young man with a dream here,
We have
Chris.
A young man with a dream who would like to...
Should I hang up now?
No.
People, this is an audition.
People have, my boss is calling for me.
People have a strange dream sometimes.
But when you go and show the chat room on the air, you always have somebody narrating it. Just take a listen and see if you can get him a job somewhere at Dateline. Go, hit this thing.
Yeah. All right.
Okay. So, do you want to touch it?
What do you think?
Probably could work.
Go ahead, Kool-Aid. Give him some live stuff.
I got a whole bunch of them here.
Kool-Aid, do something live.
I'd like to meet you at your house. Are your parents home?
That's pretty darn good. We might be able to find some work for him.
But yeah,
that seems like that should be an attainable goal.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
I'd still like to get beaten up by you and be in the toilet.
Hey, we really appreciate you coming on.
Well,
and spending
I appreciate
some time.
You guys having me.
And it's, you know what? It's got to be heady times for you, because I don't think I've ever seen a career blow up like this.
This
ever.
Is huge. I mean, you got to be so excited with what's going on. It takes guts. Though I'm sorry to go to Europe in a hotel room with some stranger in there, and you're counting him out. You know, where's my $13,000? Well, I've got $500.
Well, I saw
you.
The one you did this weekend MSNBC. The Cambodia one was amazing.
Sure. Yeah. Oh God,
it was unbelievable.
And the one last night when they actually give you your $500 back is awesome.
I know. Imagine the finance people how happy they were when I actually got the bait cash back.
And the guys are sweating, they're toweling themselves down. Oh, you know what? You do what all of us wish we could.
Exactly.
Do.
Yeah, I appreciate that. You know, we have a really, really good team of folks working on all these things.
Well, that doctor in Cambodia, who goes there seven times a year just for the beautiful architecture.
But he loves the people too.
Right.
do us one favor, Chris. Can you say, "I'm Chris Hansen from Dateline NBC, and you're listening to Stan and Haney on K-Rock."
Sure. I'm Chris Hansen from Dateline NBC, and you're listening to Stan and Haney on K-Rock.
Thank you, buddy.
Good luck and continued success.
Hey, awesome. Thanks for having me on. We'll see you in be down there in a month or so.
See you later.
The only radio show in history to escape from the jaws of a dinosaur. Only to meet a dishy brunette who breaks hearts like glass. Stan and Haney, 96 K-Rock.
I am
way off. The coal sore, it is not as bad.
I'm concerned about it.
Lay off, it is not as bad as you think. It is a small little blemish on my lip.
That is a little more than a blemish.
It's a little blemish. It surfaced yesterday, and that's all
you
it is.
You cannot explain it away. It's there.
I know it's there. But it's nothing to be worried about.
I wish you would see a doctor. You know, better just to find out. Just to find out what it is, and if the doctor says, "Stan, look, this is nothing but a cold sore, a chanker, what have you,"
I don't like
then
that,
you can leave the office happy, knowing that it's just some freak thing, and that it has nothing to do with anything. But on the other hand, you could have, I don't know what you want me to call it, because you don't like the word.
What?
The herps.
Hello, K-Rock, you're on the air.
Hi, I'd like to speak to Stan off the air, please.
Well, I'm sorry, you called while we're on the air, so you got to take it as it is. If not, hang up.
Well, I was just calling to suggest that you've been joking about this, and if it's just a joke, hey, fine, I will, laugh along with it.
What are you talking about?
The best of them, but if you do have a lesion on your lip.
So you're talking about my little outbreak here I got.
It's really, really not a laughing matter.
Who are you?
Really need to get that checked out.
What are you talking about?
Well, it's possible that you laugh about it and you say that you don't want to get it checked, but it very well could be the herpes.
Right, but if it's on my lip, it's not like anything major.
Well, yes, it is major because.
Oh, so, how do you know? Are you an expert?
Well, I work in public health.
You work in public
and
health.
And if it's a matter of concern about financially, you don't want to see your doctor. There are programs. There are programs available to you to get checked out, and it's very important that you do get checked out, especially if you are sexually active, because this disease spreads like wildfire, and it's a public health concern, and not just for you, but for those around you. And as I said, especially if you have a sexual partner, this can be transmitted very, very easily. It's very dangerous, and this is nothing you want to mess around with.
Right. And how do you know
really
this?
I'm involved in public health.
You're involved in
public
health.
And I just wanted to let you know
public health where?
Here in Southwest Florida.
Right.
And it's very important that you get this checked out. It's not a laughing matter. It's really not. I understand that it provides good fodder for your radio program. And if you tell me that this is something that's made up or this is a joke, then fine. But I wish you'd get the information out to the public that it's not something it's not something to mess around with.
What is what's your name?
I'd rather not give my name.
All right.
If that's all the same to you, I'd rather not be on the air, but I feel that it's important that people understand that it's not something to joke around with.
While I got you on the phone, though, and whether it's a joke or not, that's my business, and that's for me to worry about, not you.
Well, it's for the public to worry about, because you're putting out bad information that it's a joke, it's something to joke around with.
Hold
on. And it's deadly serious.
I'm not going to joke around. That's why I'm glad you called, Hotshot, whatever your name is, because you won't give your name, Mr. Public Health. Why don't you, in all your knowledge and wisdom, please inform the public about the herpes. Tell us a little bit about herpes.
It's not something you want to mess around with.
I know. We don't want to mess around with
it. It's very dangerous, and if you think you have the herpes,
right,
you want to get checked.
But what do we know about it? Tell me about Simplex 1 versus Simplex 2.
Well, Simplex 2 is the crotch.
Right.
Where you get it on the unit.
Yeah. Can one spread to 2?
Oh, absolutely.
I don't know about that.
Absolutely. Yes, it can. Oh, yes, it can.
Yeah.
If I've seen this in multiple cases, especially among it spreads like wildfire among homosexuals because they have such an oral fixation.
That's Ted.
And you were joking.
Where do you get your facts
you were
from?
Joking before about getting it from another man, but that's quite common and quite prevalent. If you are going to engage in oral sex and you on your partner's penis any sort of lesion, you want to stay away from that.
You're a sick man.
Anything at all like
tell
that,
me about,
and if you see some sort of if it's a woman and oral sex is involved, and certainly if genitals, if you see some sort of lesion, it's something you want to stay away from.
Right, I appreciate
that. It can be very, very dangerous, and it's something that's with you for life. You see these ads for these pills,
right.
and it doesn't do squat.
Can you get
lit up like a Christmas tree every once in a while, it's possible you can even be spreading it when you don't have that. So that's why it's so important that you get checked.
Right.
That you get checked, because especially if you're involved in a homosexual lifestyle.
Who's involved in a homosexual lifestyle? Oh!
Well, I assumed you were. I heard yesterday something about you being a homosexual. To be honest with you, I wasn't paying total attention to it. But it had something to do, vaguely to do with you being homosexual.
No.
And there's nothing wrong with that. But you have to remember, if you're going to engage in this sort of risk behavior, then you need to wear a condom.
Let me tell you something. You don't know anything about me.
And you need to wear a condom that fits.
God.
Always happy to take your phone calls on the air. Ahoy.
Yes,
Yes.
May I speak at the disc jockey, please?
You're speaking to the disc jockey. Is this Miss Sarita Williams?
It most certainly is.
Hi, Sarita. It's Stan.
Yes, sir.
Yes, ma'am.
Mr. Stan.
Yes. I haven't heard from you in a while. It's nice to know that you're still in town, are you? I mean, unless you're calling long distance.
I have been here the whole time, sir.
Okay.
I assure you. And you and I first made acquaintance many, many years ago.
Yes, we did. And that was before you knew your fiancé, Eddie Taylor. Have you two gotten married? I haven't heard from you in like over a year.
No, sir. He remains my betrothed.
Okay. So, but you've been engaged, your betrothed, your finance, for at least 10 years now.
Sir,
ma'am,
that would be none of your business.
Okay, well, you bring him up on the show all the time, and you throw him on the phone. But
I was just wondering,
yes, ma'am,
sir,
ma'am,
if you remember why you and I first crossed paths.
I do remember why the two of us first crossed paths. It was you were trying to take me off the air.
Yes, sir.
You were trying to go and literally sabotage us by taking us off the air. And we tried to appease you in every way, shape, or form. You had your own segment, your own show. We had apologies, all of that stuff. And you're still not happy, are you, ma'am?
I ran across your program simply through spinning through the dial.
That's how most people find it.
And I stopped that day, mm-hmm. and I didn't know that it was going to change my life the way that it has.
It did. We've been through a lot, Serena. It has changed your life. I've watched your children grow and become responsible adults in the community. I've watched you go and begin a relationship with a new man, an attorney in town, after, you know, your other husband turned gay and opened the antique shop down on Fort Myers Beach with Lee Daniels.
But I continue to monitor hate radio like your program.
You continue to monitor hate radio. You and called it hate how. Back then. I think Haney and I have come a long way, baby.
I don't know how that I am able to remain pure while being exposed to this utter sludge on a daily basis.
Remain pure. You're evidently tuning in every day. You're not doing it to monitor anything. You do it because you like to listen to the show.
Sir,
ma'am,
may I remind you, as if I haven't many, many times before, this is not the 1960s.
Okay, I understand it's not the 1960s.
And I, in addition to continuing to monitor
hate radio yeah.
with the assistance of my fiancé,
I've never had a problem with Eddie Taylor. He's always been the kindest man, and I've gotten along with him so well over the years, even before the two of you met.
Sir.
Ma'am.
I'm announcing today a new venture.
Oh, and you want to do it on this show, this hate show.
Well, I am trying to get the word out that Sister Serita Williams will be putting together a full curriculum.
A full curriculum of what?
Of anti-racism training, where we will teach people something called critical race theory.
They're teaching that in school right now, and most people don't agree with it. And I would expect that you wouldn't agree with that. Serita, we've been close for a lot of years.
You know, sir.
I know your children.
I have to say that maybe I didn't understand everything that was happening in the world. Maybe there was a point where I thought everything was fine. But, sir,
ma'am,
I have been woke,
and
now realize all of the injustice that have been done to me.
It's your son Malcolm, isn't he, the bookworm? He's the one that woke you.
No, sir.
No, ma'am?
No, Malcolm don't believe in none of that. He say it's stupid.
Yes!
Malcolm... God bless him. He will come along, but for now, he's stuck in the past in his books and saying, Dr. King said this and Dr. King said that.
Yes.
Well, we're beyond Dr. King now.
Wait a second. You got to be in your 60s now. You're beyond Dr. King.
He meant well. but he doesn't fit in with critical race theory, because the most important thing is the color of one's skin.
But it shouldn't be that way.
Sir?
Ma'am?
Are you willing to make a change in the world?
What do you mean, am I willing?
Are you willing to be a change maker?
I think I am a kind of change maker.
I have a radio show.
I talk to people for 4 hours a day. I'd like to think I've done something.
Well, sir.
Ma'am?
We live in an increasingly dangerous world.
I would agree to that.
I think it was a literal miracle that we had a good man elected president.
Who, Joe Biden?
Yes.
What do you know about Joe Biden?
I know that he had enough sense to get out the way and let a woman of color run the country. And, you know, he teaches us that we have to be on the lookout for white supremacists,
mm-hmm.
because this can be very dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
And he even made a speech the other day. Mm-hmm. Now you're going to put me on the spot. Because I don't know that I remember it word for word.
Well, then I wouldn't go on the radio and quoting something and you don't remember word for word your interpretation.
But I believe the president said that there's a bunch of retired postal workers that get together behind our backs and talk about how great Whitey is. And it's all these retired postal workers that are disgruntled.
You know what? Every time you come on this show, you try to stir something up. Can't we all just be friends?
And no. Well, let's see if we can be friends, sir.
Okay, ma'am.
Let me ask you one question.
You're going to ask me a question.
Yes, sir.
Okay, ma'am. By the way, how's the rest of your family doing? How's Jabbar and Piranha and their children?
I'm not, sir, going to allow you to distract me in such a manner.
I thought we always talked about this stuff.
I have one question for you.
Yes, ma'am.
Are you a racist?
No, I am not.
Okay, that right there tells me that you are.
How's that?
Because critical race theory.
I don't believe in any of this critical race theory that's being taught now.
It teaches us that that's the first thing a racist would say.
Serena, you know me. You know me.
What color is the sky?
Blue.
That's the first thing a racist would say.
What are you talking about?
Because the beauty of critical race theory is that no matter what you say, it's the wrong answer.
So no matter what I say, it's the wrong answer.
Yes, it proved.
And that's because I'm whitey?
Yeah. It's based on nothing other than the color of your skin. If you're white, you're racist.
Okay. You're not.
See, it's real simple.
Yeah,
see, because it go, they send you charts and graphs.
Uh-huh.
So you can teach this course.
You're going to teach this course. You're going to bring people in from the neighborhood and have it like in your living room? Your great room?
No, sir.
Serena, are you smoking?
I'm going to approach government agencies on the state and federal level.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've learned that critical race training.
Yeah.
Is one of the most lucrative growing occupations right now.
I knew it. You're out to make a buck.
Do you have any idea how much money the government will pay for a sassy black woman to come in and tell a room full of white people that they're trash?
How much are they going to pay you, Serena, to do this?
I know.
About money.
I'm flying up to New Hampshire next week, and I'm getting $30,000 for 3 days.
$30,000 for 3 days!
Now tell me who's the fool.
Yep, I'm the fool. I'm the fool in this one. Oh, now, Serena, you know what? I'm telling you right now.
If you are willing, sir.
Ma'am!
If you
are you kidding me? You're doing
you
this
willing,
for $30,000.
Sir, if you are willing to promote Sister Serena Williams' critical race training on your program, I will look the other way.
You'll look the other way.
But if you don't,
Serena,
then I am going to see to it that Stan and Haney Boulevard gets a little bit of a name change.
What are you
going
to change it to?
Oh, I don't know. Leon Spank Boulevard? It don't really matter. This ain't going to be your name, sir.
Right. Because I'm what?
What?
What am I?
Well, you're white.
Okay.
I didn't make the rules, sir.
Right. You're just looking to get 30 grand.
You're damn right I'm looking to get $30,000.
Eddie going up, Eddie going up with you?
$30,000?
How does Eddie Taylor feel about this? Is he all in favor of this? Well, anytime $30,000 is involved, I'm sure he's really excited about it.
He just keep the books. Mm-hmm. He don't believe in it either.
He doesn't believe in it either. So can you tell me, I'll let you promote it.
Between you and me, Whitey, I don't make much sense to me neither.
Okay. Okay. That's fine. If you leave me alone and don't bring me in on this, mm-hmm. I'll let you promote it on the show. I got 30 seconds. You can promote what you're doing. And far be it from me. You're a woman that I've heard you talk about Hispanics, Jewish people. I've heard you talk about Asian people. I've heard you talk mm-hmm. about all this stuff. And mm-hmm. I know you mm-hmm. like the back of my hand. And mm-hmm. this is... Okay. Go ahead. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Attention. Government man, you need a black woman to come in and clean house and turn your office from an office full of white supremacists into an office full of race traitors. Well, I'm your lady.
For $30,000. I got to go. I'm not going to let you do that. I can't let you do that.
I will not be undersold.
I can't let you do this.
If somebody trying to charge you $50,000, I come in for $30,000, flat rate.
Flat rate. I can't let you go any further with it.
Your employees, it will cost you less, but your employees will be just as demoralized.
You know, I almost wish you didn't call. We'll take a break. Stan and Haney, 96 K-Rock.
This is the perfect family scene when Mom, Dad, and Junior all want to hear the same radio program.
Stan and Haney, 96 K-Rock.
This is a pleasure to have this guy on the show with us. From The Late Show with David Letterman, the longtime announcer of the show, Alan Coulter is on the phone with us. Alan, welcome to the show.
Good morning, K-Rock. Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Big Red.
Good. Glad you recognize me.
I was just, you know, it was found out you're coming on the show, which we've been trying to get you for a while, and we sent our crack guy, John, and he...
He's beating it, though. I mean, he's going to meetings.
Yeah, he is.
Kool-Aid did a good job.
Yes, he did. And you have been on the show since 1995?
Yes, I was 13. It's a long time. came on that long ago as an announcer. On the first day, Dave said, "Hey, we got a pool outside on 53rd Street. Olympic diver, Alan, do you swim?" And the next thing I knew, I was on my back floating in the pool.
You know, the thing is, and I got to commend you, although, you know, you're all right looking. But they tell you, you know, if you're going to do one of those comedy skits, take your shirt off. Walk around in your underwear. I mean, the first time you look at that, is there a time where you said, "No, I'm not doing that. I'm an announcer"?
Yeah, every single time. and that's what makes you and I clinically depressed.
Seriously, and I've said this, it is some of the funniest stuff in the world that you do on that show.
Well, thank you very much. Appreciate that.
And we joke around here. We wonder every time that you come on, you're going to be TV's whomever.
Right.
That's right. Little Jimmy was the last time. Last night I made a sexual innuendo and a come on to Rosie, and we're waiting for the call, but it hasn't happened yet either.
That delivery is incredible.
Thank you.
And from what I understand, and I guess reading about what you've done, and this was the same thing with, like, Bill Wendell, who preceded you on the Letterman show. You were the voice guys, the announcers for a lot of other stuff, whether it be for the network or television shows. I mean,
that's right. It was kind of weird with Bill because back in the early 80s, actually the late 70s, Bill was doing To Tell the Truth. And I took over for Bill and To Tell the Truth did the last 5 years of that show. And I was still doing To Tell the Truth when he moved over to Dave's show on NBC. And I had two shows on the air, couldn't do that. And then when Bill left here, I came in here.
And, tell me if it's true or if it's not true. It just seems. It just seems with Letterman and his people who have been with him for so many years. Once you have shown that you can do the work, he seems very loyal with the people that he surrounds himself with.
Absolutely. He is an extremely loyal person. You notice every once in a while a comedian that you haven't seen in years comes on. They come on here because those are the guys that Dave knew from back when, and he gives them breaks and he keeps them on the air.
Yeah, and
there's a lot of loyalty in the family too, and it is a family. It's a great bunch of group. A bunch of people.
Unfortunately, that loyalty is not always returned, Jay Leno.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where did you learn to take a punch?
Where did I learn to take? You know, that's a very good guy. The thing I'm waiting for most on this show is to get recognition from the Stuntman's Union. And every stuntman that comes on here tells me, we got to give you something.
I swear
to
God.
I'm still waiting.
That long-running bit that you did with the wrestler guy, whether you were dating his wife or he'd come out, and he would literally do the wrestling punch, and you would take that punch so perfectly. I said,
you have no idea. Working with these stunt guys, and Brian is unbelievable. You'll see the same guy, Brian, for the last 12 years I've been working with Brian, at least 9 of them. 12 years ago, I started hitting people. Really. And Dave gave me 3 years of hitting people and getting mad and then going off and belting them. And then one day somebody said, why doesn't somebody hit back? And we've never stopped that. But when we do those things, I choreograph them, and I never get hurt from the stuntman. Every single one of those things is camera angle, him holding me a certain way. Rather an easy thing to do. If I'm gonna hurt myself in one of those things, it's because I turned the wrong way. It hasn't happened yet.
And it is true, like Hollywood style of the camera angle and the way the guy throws the punch. And if it comes across looking real, it's awesome. But you, at times, have been known to fall off your stool.
Oh, that's me. That's just you can't help it. Once you get into one of those things, you just try to do your all. And I throw the chair out from under me and throw myself against the back wall. So far, it's been pretty good. But, I worry about that, too.
There, I was watching something. It might have been on the late night website where you fell. And there was the microphone tripod.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing went flying. And you were in free fall off your stool.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, that tripod missed him by like an inch. And had that gone into your leg and impaled you.
I would have been taken care of by CBS for the rest of my life. I've been trying to do that for years.
Well, opportunity missed.
Because I've never had the privilege, and I've gone to New York so many times and wanted to go see the show. Tough ticket to get.
Yeah, well, you couldn't get anyway because you're too recognizable. You couldn't get in here. Yeah, the audience would go crazy. We'd have to keep you in the green room. It's a tough ticket, but with a little on the extra, a little on the side.
People don't
realize how small that theater actually is.
461 seats. He could have made it much bigger. He likes to see everybody. It's a warm atmosphere there.
And before the show,
warm atmosphere.
It's really
about 50 degrees.
Yeah. Yeah, a little bit of sadism. It's a warm atmosphere.
But before the show, he does actually go out into the audience and talk to them for a little while.
Talks to the audience for every show.
What's he say?
He says,
welcome to the Late Show with David Letterman. We are not giving you cars. This is not Oprah. And then we start the show.
Wow. And the thing is, now do you do anything as far as warming up the audience before?
No, used to on all the other shows I've done, not here. Got a great guy here named Eddie Brill, who's a New York comedian and now national. And he's been warming up the audiences for the last 6 or 7 years.
So what the hell are you doing before the show starts?
Absolutely nothing. It's a good way to make a living.
Yeah, I guess it is. And the comedy sketches that you do, and you say, like, when you fall off the stool and all that, that's all you. How much input do you have in the writing of those things?
None. The only input I have is to say I won't do this and I won't do that. These guys are terrific because they change everything.
I don't know where your line is. You've come close. I mean, you hit the creep factor.
Oh, yeah.
with the drinks thrown in the face, the shirtless, walking around in the underwear,
I'll tell you guys, I know you have that same feeling working with each other. You're just a kid. It brings us back to the time we were 10 years old and Mom and Dad didn't let us do the things we're doing now and saying now.
So where have you said no?
Oh, just about every day. Oh, you'd be surprised at the stuff we haven't put on here.
Would we like it?
you might like it. Mom and Dad would give me up for dead, but you might like it.
Not for mass consumption, huh?
No.
What are you now? You're a grandfather.
Yep.
Are any one of your grandchildren old enough to see Grandpa on TV doing this
yet.
Stuff?
No, not yet. I've got a 1.5 and a 4.
Now, the 4-year-old might.
Might get scarred.
Yeah. Permanently damaged.
Yeah. Actually, my kids still call me up and say, are you on tonight? And I say yes. And they say, should we look? And I say no. So, can't do it to my grandkids.
I didn't know this until you go and you put two and two together. I guess to this day, you can still turn on the USA Network. You used to be the voice of USA Network.
That's right. For 10, 11 years, it's the only voice.
And you can still hear, like, when an infomercial comes on.
Yeah, once in a while.
He'll come on and tell you, you know, has nothing to do with the network.
Every once in a while. Did it for a lot of cable companies, a lot of them.
Well,
USA Sports Channel for about 5 years, the only voice on that, too, and most of the movie channels every once in a while.
God, USA Network, that used to be nothing but Night Flight.
Oh, USA Network used to be so great. So great.
And
you remember Night Flight? That was great.
Yeah.
You got your start in radio, obviously.
Yeah, I did.
Where did you start your radio career?
Started at WGVA, Strauss Broadcasting, up in Geneva, New York. Was going to college near there, and they wouldn't give freshmen and sophomores a chance to be on the air on the college station, so I went out and made some money.
Ah, yeah. Now Haney, who has just a beautiful radio voice, said he got that voice. He was 15 when he first went on the air, and the voice has never changed. Was your voice always like this, or did you grow into it?
No, I did. My father had this voice. I have the same voice. My brother has the same voice. It's a family thing. I don't know. It had to be the same thing with Haney too.
Yeah, my brother has the exact same voice, but he's a much nicer, more well balanced person.
So is mine.
And has a career.
So is mine. I want to know. I want to know why it's not Noel Onik and Haney.
You honestly want to go and say Noel Onik every single day?
I think Noel Onik is great. I used to take it when I had an upset stomach, and it saved my life many times.
You were an English teacher. Would you be able to correctly pronounce the name? If I spelled it to you, Nawalaniec, how would you pronounce it, English teacher?
Noel Onik.
That's Nawalniak. That's how I always say it.
Well, the ethnic families used to, you know, the fresh off the boat, it was Nawalniak.
Well, you got to tell John that. Kool-Aid doesn't even know that. I asked him 3 times, and he said Noel Onik, just like Noel Onik.
But that's
how
it,
Stan pronounces
that's
it.
That's how it's pronounced.
Everybody knows it's Nawalniak.
Yeah. You got a great group there. You know, I came down to Naples about 4 weeks ago and played at Tiburon.
Oh, that's a great track.
Yeah, you got some great golf in that area. So here, we can only play 5 months a year, and now with winter lasting a long time, maybe 3.5 weeks. And down there, it's fantastic.
Kool-Aid was telling me, though, that you are familiar with our area.
I am. I am. Love the restaurants down there. The Marco Island. I got some friends in Marco Island. I got some friends in Naples. And into the Fort Myers Airport, of course, all the time.
And this area, it's just gone crazy. It's like where we are in Estero. We're halfway between Fort Myers and Naples.
Mm-hmm.
And I was talking to actually a real estate guy who's lived in Estero his whole life. And he goes, it's like all of a sudden you wake up and we didn't move to another city. Another city came to us. The booming of this area is incredible.
Oh, it's a great area. You really are in a perfect place.
And it's one of those things that we find that people who may be of celebrity status, they used to go down here because they could be anonymous.
Mm-hmm.
They would buy nice homes down here. A lot of them still do nice homes down here, and they can actually go and be themselves and not worry about anybody running up to them and bothering them. And you'll be surprised. Oh, I've heard your show before. And it's like, my God, I had no idea you hung around down here.
Yeah.
A lot
of
people coming around.
Yeah, that's just great. I know you guys are fans. John told me that you were fans of the Letterman Show for a while.
Huge fans.
That is great. And there is the most enjoyable thing that I go through, and I know you feel this way about each other, is I just watch this man, and he's a genius. We have a number of geniuses on the show. I mean, he is so quick and so witty, and I've been a fan of his for a long time.
And unfortunately,
Paul is a musical genius.
Unfortunately, I think he's just so underappreciated by the vast majority of the country. It amazes me any time. I just can't see any possibility of how Leno could ever beat him on any given night.
Uh, You know, you're absolutely right. The people who watch him on a regular basis, or people who watch Dave love Dave, and understand and have a sense of humor and are intelligent. When somebody tells me I don't watch him because I just prefer another show. Mm-hmm. It sort of brings them down a level in my estimation.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, unless they've got a pretty good reason for it, and I'll tell you, I think Leno's a very funny guy and a very nice guy too. But I don't understand why more people don't watch Letterman. I think a lot do.
I will just say, you know, and it's weird that I kind of take it personally. It's just because I have watched Letterman for so long, and I remember on the NBC show how he would just talk Leno up.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just more than any other comedian that I've ever heard. Just Jay Leno is such a talented guy, and the mm-hmm. way that worked out is just something that I'll never understand.
Well, he is a talented guy. He's a funny guy. He really is. It's just that this is...
Alan, nobody...
If I was not working here, I'd still be watching the show every night. It's that good.
I think it just comes down to nobody likes a kiss ass.
And I'll never be one. Neither will you.
Now, there is one thing that you could help us out with. We have a young man who's he's recently turned 40,
mm-hmm.
and he is a redhead, and Stan constantly gives him problems about being a redhead and
yeah.
getting burned by the sun. I think you could. I think he looks up to you as a role model. Do you have any advice?
Who is this?
Tom.
Yeah, one of the producers.
Yeah, he's our executive producer right. on the show. He's a redhead like you, and he burns.
Well, Stan's always busting my chops saying how I must not have any friends, because every time we go to the beach, I'm the guy that has to, wait, I got to get my big hat and my 45 sunblock.
You know, that
and I
hold stuff every, all
yeah,
over
I hold
nose.
Everyone up, and I delay the trip to the beach because I gotta slather on a bunch of oils and stuff.
We are a small group, but when we take over, we know who to pay back.
That's right, exactly.
You know, another connection with the letter. Show is we had Anton Figg.
Oh yeah, great guy.
Who is a phenomenal guy. We went and had the drum set up in here for him, and he is. You talk about Paul Schaefer in the band. Anton is incredible.
Yep.
Anton's unbelievable. All those guys in the band are unbelievable. And I'll tell you something else. Anton hits a wicked golf shot.
Is he a good golfer too?
Oh yeah, yeah. The Bruce Kapler and Al Jess, the trumpeter.
Yes.
And Anton and I play on a regular basis, and Anton hits the ball. Wow.
What?
Unbelievable. And by the way, Tom, in South Africa, you and I are gods.
Really?
Yeah.
We'll have to do a press junket out there.
I think so. I think so. When we name our list each day of the people who have to be removed.
Right.
Stan.
Yeah.
Heaney.
Come on.
See, I just had a great image of, like, Alan running for office and him having a security detail headed by Tom, all redheads.
Yeah.
Sunglasses
yeah.
on.
Yeah.
Next time you come down here, can we play golf?
Oh, I'd love to.
Where
would you take me?
I'd get you on a good course. I got connections.
Okay, good.
And we'll go and...
For you, we could get you anywhere.
Good.
Yeah, anywhere you want to go, and we'll play 18. And
good.
Then
can I play with my shirt off?
You know, if you can get away with it, fine.
Good, we'll bring a film crew down. Great.
We so appreciate
and please,
it.
And please tell Anton we said hello. That
yeah.
was one of the greatest days on the show.
I will. Congratulations, guys. You got a great show.
Appreciate it, pal. We'll talk to you soon.
You take care. Thanks for
Bye-bye.
Asking. Bye.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
We wrote the book on funny, but unfortunately, it's long out of print. Stan and Haney.
96 K-Rock.
It must be Sunday morning. I ask, why do you lay your love on me so strong?
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
It must be Sunday morning.
Hallelujah. I said hallelujah, you dirty mother. What a wonderful, wonderful Sunday morning service. We're going to get to talking later about the the seven deadly sins. If you don't know what they is, then look it up. I see all you young people out there. You got them damn cell phone with a typewriter on it. Well, look it up, mother. The seven deadly sins. Yes, praise Jesus, we're going to get to that. But first, I present to you the upcoming Reverend Love Marriage Retreat. That's right, we're going to talk about marriage. You know a little something about that, don't you, lady? I'm talking about marriage. And Reverend Love Marriage Retreat is all based around the four F's. That's right, Reverend Love, four F's. I'm talking about food, fun, fellowship, and f***. That's right. I present to you that f***ing is important. Where, how do you say, Reverend Love, how come you standing up in the pulpit saying a word like f***? Why do you think I'm talking about f***? Where do you think babies come from, mother f***? Now, maybe I step out of turn for some of the older members of the congregation. Well, I sure am sorry about that. But this is for the young generation. People need to get out there and make them babies. And you ain't gonna make no babies without no f***. Hey, lady. How about you f*** your man for a change? Gentlemen. Reverend Love is here to tell you it is fine, fine as wine, for your lady to suck you off. But God forbid you be so foolish as to put your mouth on her filthy thing. It just looks like a big old myth. You ain't got no business up in there. And that never was no problem in my day. But you know, a lot of the young gentlemen come to me and say, Reverend Love, she be acting all the time. That's all. A man don't need to be doing that. What a man need to do is to do his business and be done with it. So you watch a damn ball game. Another thing that I've heard about it is the most perverse, sodomic, and gomoric things I've ever heard. I will kick you out of this church, young man. If you ever let a woman put some nasty feet in your mouth, I saw this on television. It sickened me to my stomach. I'd have no part of it. Now, that woman I seen on TV had a feet in a man's mouth. Yeah, of course she like it, because it cleaned her all up. And then the man turned into some kind of toe-sucking That's right, I said he's a toe-sucking Stand up. Be a man. Tell her to get down there and get to work. And don't take no sass. Now see, it's got to be respectful, but be firm. You either got needs and she got needs, and y'all gonna have to work it out somehow. You understand? You tell her she need to get down there and go to work, and you find somebody younger and put it in to do it. And then you got to be prepared to follow up like Reverend Love did. Hallelujah, mother. You got to be prepared to follow through. Idle talk is the devil's pulpit, you silly mother. Ain't no lady want to lay down with a broke mother. Hallelujah. 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 The Bible teaches us that women is venomous creatures. Your daddy only wanted to know how to charm your snake. I submit to thee, you slimy, dumpster diving bitch. Bang some trash can lids together. That'll run him off. Silly motherfucker. I don't want to hear no jingle, jangle, jingle, and nothing about. Ain't nothing. Ain't nothing like jingle, jangle, jingle ball going on. That building fund is empty. Empty. They're building fun for my new pastor. I don't want to hear a thing about your broke ass and how people is hurting. Reverend Love is hurting. Ain't nothing in that building fun. You need to fill that motherfucker up. I got into this business because I was told that the house of God is recession proof. That has seems to be the case, at least with this sorry-ass congregation. I have had enough, but I will tell you this. Reverend Love need a swimming pool. Reverend Love need a swimming pool and a new roof. And they ain't going to build themselves. The Lord help those that help themselves. I'm going to help myself to what's in that collection plate and get this to hizzle, you know what I'm saying? Reverend Love know how to put a family back together again. Everybody just shut the up and love one another. Giggity, giggity, yep, yep, yep. You hear yourself, lady? That ain't nothing nobody want to hear. Your man don't want to hear that giggity, 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 yep. Slip, slap, slurp, slurp, gurgle, gurgle, then be happy. You got it, dummy? Hallelujah. 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 We also like to recognize Miss Florence Richard. She is 98 years old. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
But it'll be a cold day in hell before I give my heart again.
Let's see. Everything going all right for you today?
Yes.
You're not wearing a collared shirt today. You got a T-shirt on. That is something you usually
style. Yeah, that's weird. That looks weird on him.
It does look weird. He usually styles up and has like a polo shirt on. Today, just a gray T-shirt.
Indeed.
Boy, it changed Monday.
Well, it's a tennis shirt.
Oh, yeah, it is. Tennis something.
It's got a coat of arms from somewhere.
Right.
J. Crew. On sale, $9.99.
Is that 100%?
99%.
Or is it a 50-50 blend?
50-50 blend.
Yeah.
Make in Pakistan.
Bok choy!
The Emmy Awards was on last night. It's the second major train wreck in Los Angeles in less than a week and a half.
It's true.
It was a big night for the HBO miniseries, John Adams. At the Emmys, and an even bigger night for Sam Adams in Kiefer Sutherland Limo.
You heard him.
Yeah.
Madman.
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 Oh, Mad.
Mad.
Madman.
Became the first cable show to win the Best Drama Emmy. Madman depict an era when wealthy white men were candidly racist, sexist and homophobic, or as though in the Bush administration call it, now.
You know, it's something I like to do on this show.
Yes, I do.
We've numbers, letters,
mm-hmm.
three-letter words, four-letter words, beginning sentences.
Now you're getting into some complex territory.
We're going to try a multiple sentence taken from the...
A multiple sentence.
Yeah, more than one sentence.
Like a small paragraph.
I know how that goes, man. Try to get them concurrent.
Taken from an early Dick and Jane book called Growing Up with Dick and Jane.
Oh, jeez. Jesus.
Here's today's sentence. Multiple sentence.
Look spot. Oh, look. Look at Jane throw the ball.
And Jesus. What sound does that make?
Bzzz. That's the ball landing.
Right? Soft landing, yeah.
That was soft landing.
Soft landing.
Very good.
Embarrassing moment at last night telecast. Kathy Griffith face violently pop. Slathering Botox all over Emmy winner Jeremy Piven.
Oh, Ryan, yeah, pop like a zip. Didn't we see popped. It?
Ryan Seacrest and Paris Hilton are teaming together. Ryan Seacrest.
He does have some secrets.
Yes, he does.
And Paris Hilton are teaming together to produce a script TV series. The show is set in the fictional world where Paris is a virgin, Ryan stray, and you would actually watch it. Dane Cook's new movie opened over the weekend. If you like to see it, but don't have the $10... Put a tank top on a monkey, pump him with PCP, and then watch him run around screaming for 2 hours.
That's true.
Oh, sure.
Christina Applegate returned to the set of Samantha Who? The emotional reunion gave her a lump in her throat. and now she will miss 6 weeks after having it surgically removed.
That is a low blow.
That's horrible.
That is low blow indeed.
Oh, boy. I am going to hell for that one.
Save that.
Internet rumors are saying that coyote have killed two of Paris Hilton dogs.
Ooh.
Or another way of looking at this is the coyote rescued them.
What? I get it. Not funny, but yeah. I get it.
Felicity Huffman?
Pardon me?
Felicity Huffman?
Hoffman?
Huffman.
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 Felicity Huffman?
Huff.
Huff.
She huffed a man.
She huffed a man. Said that Eva Longoria, not pregnant.
Oh.
See, he's just fat. In return, Eva Longoria said that Felicity Huffman, not big bone. She's a big man.
Oh. Ouch.
Well, she did play a tranny in that HBO movie.
Yes, yeah, she
last
did.
Year.
Yeah, she yeah. most certainly did.
Very convincingly, by the way.
Can't forget that.
Quite an actress.
Sarah Palin will visit the UN next week. She will be the one walking the floor and saying, "So let me get this straight. There are different types of black people, too." Computer experts say that Sarah Palin can avoid being hacked in the future by choosing a password that cannot be associated with her or her family. For instance, condom. Jesus. Condom. Sarah Palin said that she watched Tina Fey's impression of her on Saturday Night Live without volume. But since she was with John McCain, the giant caption was on.
Right, yeah. At Saturday Night Live.
Right.
A federal judge on Saturday ordered Dick Cheney to preserve a wide range of the records from his time as vice president. Cheney not only agreed to the request, he invited the judge to go hunting with him. Hurricane Ike unearthed a wooden shipwreck along the Alabama coast. Experts say that its Civil War era style could mean that it is the USS Monticello, and its overall state of decomposition could mean it is the USS Melanie Griffith. You can only wait and see.
Did the storm really kick up a shipwreck?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know anything about it, but it did.
Wow.
Haven't had a chance to research that because of
Civil War
friggin' virus.
Yeah.
Really puts you in a good mood, yeah. I'll tell you.
Can cripple you.
Matt Lauter.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Will be roasted? By the New York
He will
Friar?
Be throated.
He will be roasted.
Matt Lauter will be throated.
By the New York Friar Club in late October.
Okay.
Al Roker will be there, but only because he misunderstood what they meant by grilling Matt Lauter.
Lauer?
Do you see a D in that word?
Yeah, where's the
it's
D?
It's okay.
Lauer. It's Matt Lauer.
Forgive me, please. I'm Chinese. Me Chinese, me play joke. There you go. George Michael was arrested in a public toilet Saturday on a drug charge.
Again?
Yeah, hi.
In the toilet. Okay, yeah. What's with him?
So there was no real, I guess that was the joke.
Yeah.
Just moved right on.
I saw it in the news there. He was begging the cop not to charge him.
Lynn Spears said that she never wanted Britney to become a star, but seven of Britney's 10 personality did. So Lynn was outvoted.
Wow.
Researchers in France have uncovered a brand new piece of a music written by Mozart.
Very famous composer, Mozart.
I think that's a music service that's in elevators and lobbies.
Yeah. Mozart.
Your move, Tupac. Your move. A study found that over 4% of all U.S. postal employees own back tax. Now come the tough part, fighting someone with the ball to collect it. The president of Iran say he doesn't have issue with Israel's citizen. Just it's statehood.
Oh, wow.
You know, just like OJ didn't have an issue with Nicole, just the way her head looked on her neck.
Oh!
A British woman gave birth to a 13-pound, 10-ounce baby boy.
Well, congratulations.
Due to its size, the baby had to be delivered by the F section.
Had an F section.
A new drug.
I gotta remember that one. An F section.
A new drug can slow bone loss in cancer patients. But if you really want to avoid bone loss, just show them a picture of Megan Fox.
It's true.
Hershey is recalling its chocolate topping because it may contain undeclared almonds. Mm. Undeclared almonds?
Undeclared almonds.
Almonds. Isn't that what Eddie Murphy looked for in his ladies?
Undeclared almonds.
Allies will rely on flight attendants to enforce a pornography ban on in-flight internet usage. A pruned. Snaggletude? Flight attendant ruining my sexy thought. Good luck with that, airline. Paris Hilton say that the first thing she does when she wake up every morning is A. Write out her dream. B. Brush her hair. Or C. Shake all of last night guys out of her hoo-ha.
Paris Hilton.
Sean Combs. Step on a pile of dog crap.
It's true.
When A, he was walking on a New York sidewalk. B, someone in his apartment failed to curb their pet. Or C, his assistant left one of his album on the floor.
Now that's true.
The Emmys went out last night, and once again, you failed to take home an award. You probably never will. Let us explain with this list of the
top
reason you will never win an Emmy.
Top reasons why you will never win an Emmy.
Your name is Jim Belushi. There is no category for best money shot. You didn't get into TV awards. You got into it to install toilet cam in Hayden Panettiere trailers.
Oh. She looked good last night.
Yeah, you still something. Think... ER is pronounced They don't give Emmy for grainy home video make in a cape in Afghanistan. You do all your show sound effect with a kazoo and sly whistle.
We need a couple of those.
That anti-gay, anti-Jewish letterer? You distribute isn't exactly helping.
Literature is what you're looking for. Literature. Stan, your category.
Yes, I'd like to take potpourri for 500.
Name two things. Sorry. The only TV show you have appeared on is Cops. Compared to your skin, John McCain looked youthful and radiant.
No.
You play all the roles on your show, your shell.
What?
You play all the roles on the your shelf.
Roles?
Roles on your show yourself.
Right.
In blackface.
Word for Ted Danson.
Critics just ain't ready for a sitcom version of Hotel Rwanda. And finally. You are on an innovative show with creative, fresh ideas. Just kidding. That doesn't exist.
Something else?
Painfully true.
He's one in a million.
America's sweetheart, the great, the one and only Buck Joy!
There he goes! All right.
Viciously fracking Southwest Florida airwaves for decades. Stan and Haney on 96 K-Rock.
Okay, he's on the phone right now. All right, I got the thumbs up.
is our man across the pond, has been for decades now, a friend of the show, a British royal insider. It's our buddy Roger Bannister. Roger, I'm glad we got the connection. Good afternoon here, I guess good evening where you are.
Yes, hi-ho, cheerio, my friend.
You know, the United States, Roger, is all abuzz because Oprah Winfrey is going to be doing that sit-down. I guess it already happened with Prince Harry and Meghan Markle.
Yes, the Duke and Duchess of Sussex for now.
Yeah, the rumor has it that there's going to be a lot of stuff being said on Sunday night that is going to make the royal family in Great Britain, especially the Queen, a little angry.
Well, that's so hard to believe because they're such sympathetic characters, aren't they?
Yeah, well, I know you're saying that tongue in cheek because I don't find them sympathetic at all.
You know, we've watched these boys grow up, and
we have.
I remember a particular picture of Harry and Wills doing a potato sack race.
Oh, yes, yes, I remember that, too.
And now that's gone forever.
Now, and explain to this, because you're there, you see them on a regular basis. Prince William and Kate have never gotten along with, especially Kate, never with Meghan Markle. But the brothers now are not close anymore. And that's a shame, because they were close.
They were close. Obviously, they were as close as brothers at one point.
Yeah, although they didn't look like brothers.
Well, they were told that they were brothers.
Right, right. Well, half brothers.
Well, the fact of the matter is that Kate really tried.
Oh, she did.
Oh, she most certainly did, and it was thrown back into her face. Now, let's review here.
Okay.
The only reason that Harry exists is because there is a royal formula that has been followed throughout the centuries where, as the wife of the heir to the throne, mm-hmm. you are to produce an heir and a spare.
That's truth. Believe it or not, if you look at the history of, you know, most royal families, whether it's Great Britain or elsewhere, you got to have that heir to the throne. Roger, are you smoking?
Indeed.
Your usual brand, the Dunhills?
Absolutely.
Yeah, so what's the talk to me? Meghan Markle and Prince Harry, they don't have kids.
Well, let's review. So Prince Harry exists as a spare to the throne.
Right.
So he has much more free reign than Wills. Very little is asked of him.
Mm-hmm.
Wills takes on all the burdens. Wills is married first, and everything's fine.
Yeah.
And then, all of a sudden, along comes an American divorcee.
Yeah.
What could possibly go wrong?
Oh, and I checked
After
that.
All, we've never been down that road before.
Oh,
have
we remember
we?
What happened there during the war there. That was a mess.
And I, you know, at this point with them doing the interview, I don't think there's any harm in saying that it's well known that Harry's a bit of a dunce.
Yeah, not too bright. And I checked that. She does have a child with him, doesn't she? I remember the photographs with her always carrying the baby bump.
Oh, yes. And as a matter of fact, as you well know, I thought we discussed this the last time, the merchandise regarding the child.
Yes, you have always capitalized on that.
With Bannister's canisters.
Yes, yep.
Well, we have a lovely new figurine.
Yes.
That will go on sale immediately following the interview at Bannister's canisters.
Mm-hmm. That's Bannister canisters dot Brit.
Yes. Now, what we've done is we've gotten a little ambitious with this, and you wind up the representation of little Archie.
That's right, Archie. How easily and forgettable.
He toddles along a bit like a weevil.
Yes.
You know, unsteady on his feet, holding his blankie.
Yeah.
And then, thanks to the miniaturization of electronics, every once in a while he'll say, I want me gran. Where's me gran?
Really,
this I
is
want
a,
my gran.
This is an amazing, and available at Bannister's Canisters online.
Immediately following the interview, okay. Not a moment before.
I got you.
Now, I want me gran. Where's me gran?
How much is that going to go for, by the way, you know, pre-order?
I'm not at liberty to say until it goes on sale. Let me just say you'll be pleasantly surprised and may be available as part of a package deal.
Okay.
So you have this great ginger dunce who marries this American divorcee who clearly is a social climber. Her first husband got her the acting job on a TV series that no one has ever seen called Suits.
Suits? I have never seen it.
Yes. First, he got her the opportunity to be a model on the Howie Mandel show holding a briefcase showing off her cleavage.
Yes, I
saw
that.
And then she got a show that allegedly exists that no one's ever seen called Suits. And then she meets Harry. And, of course, this is like throwing one of your helicopter lures into a pond and a big bass just comes right out.
Right. Sure.
And she's got him wrapped around her little finger.
Yeah, that's really a troublesome to me, too. And we've talked about it on the show, Roger, is that here is royalty and this woman from America and a divorcee, kind of like making decisions for a prince.
Well, exactly. And, you know, this is people lose sight of the fact this is Harry's actual blood family.
Yeah.
And this woman shows up and does what many women do, especially ones that, you know, they discard the marriage as it becomes obsolete to take the next step.
Mm-hmm. Some people have said that.
And she tells him exactly what he wants to hear. Oh, Harry, I know you couldn't be with just any girl. You need to be with a girl that has the spirit of your mother about public service. But you know, Megan, there may be things asked of you for the monarchy. Oh, I'll do anything, Harry, anything to be with you. This is the life I've always dreamed of.
Wow, that's a great reading. That's a great reading, Roger. I didn't know you had that kind of talent in you. Usually you're just a fact checker. You're actually getting dramatic here.
And then the people loved them.
Oh, they did. They fell in love.
And they were installed at Frogmore Cottage.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when the royals call something a cottage, it's what you would call a castle.
Right. Right. You all right, Roger?
And she didn't appreciate the accommodations, and so she demanded $11 million in taxpayer money to have the house redecorated to her taste, and then they promptly left for Canada.
Yeah, and they want to do stuff in California. Now, you're a man in the know. You know what the Queen is doing. You know what the royal family is doing. What has been the reaction? What are we going to expect Sunday night with Oprah Winfrey, who's really taken the mantle after Larry King passed away as the safe interview? What are we going to expect on Sunday night, and how is the Queen reacting to this?
There will be absolute silence until Sunday night.
Okay, so Buckingham Palace saying nothing right now.
Believe me, they know what's been said.
Yeah, they had silence to have seen it.
There'll be silence until it's said.
Okay.
And, you know, it's so hard to see the Queen as a sympathetic figure, but they've managed to do it.
Yeah, they have.
Because these people are so horrid that you're looking at a 94-year-old woman who is being forced to deal publicly with her idiot grandson, who can't see he's being led along by his ding-dong.
Being used.
by this horrible creature.
Is he going to still be able to be called Prince? Because we're talking about it tonight with, you know, a Sunday night Oprah win, Prince Harry and Meghan. Is he going to be keep the title? Will he still forever be called a prince?
If what I've heard is said in this interview, and I have it on good authority, it's been said, I can't even say what it is. But if it is said, they think that it's been held so far with ceremonial things being taken away from them.
Yeah.
Let's see how they like it when they're stripped of all titles.
Wow. And I've heard that they hint in this interview with Oprah that there was a conspiracy in Great Britain and at Buckingham Palace against them, that there was a plot against them to destroy them. Can you confirm or deny that? They're going to throw that rumor out there. Confirm or deny?
Here's what I can confirm. When one joins the royal family, and the opportunities to do that are few and far between, It is explained in detail what that involves. Now, let's Americanize it for you.
Okay.
You have become involved in a prominent family business, and now you're a shareholder and all that, and anything you say could affect the enterprise.
Yeah.
And so what you say has to be carefully monitored, what you say in public.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a reasonable thing.
I think if so, too. Work, I mean, they do that now.
If you work for IBM and you feel the need to tell Oprah about what's coming out next year when it's not quite ready yet, that's frowned upon.
They call that trade secrets.
Yes. And so she viewed this as some sort of, oh, I can't speak me mind. Back when she was attempting to do an accent.
Right.
Which was horrid, by the way.
Yep, so fake.
I mean, she's no Gillian Anderson, is she? Ripples!
So do you know for a fact that will the royal family be watching Sunday night American television to see what's going on?
Put yourself in the Queen's place. You're a 94-year-old woman with a dundering son and an idiot grandson and a 99-year-old vampiric husband in the hospital.
Yes!
Begging for virgin's blood.
Yep. And I think he got some. They say he's making a recovery.
This man, if he were not Prince Philip, would have been dead at the age of 52. And you don't want to know, right. Believe me.
Right, but he's getting that virgin blood, and he can live forever. 99, the Queen's 94, he's 99. They have been in power, so to speak, since World War II.
Yes, and, you know, it's these frequent baths of theirs. And it's not water.
Right, right. So,
virgin blood.
Yeah.
Full moon.
So, after Sunday night, and I know you want to get one more plug in for this, go to BannistersCanisters.Brit, and you can get the new, a doll?
Well, it's little Archie, and of course she's preggers again. We have another little figurine of little Archie, and they've named their company Archwell. So we have little Archie, and he's trapped down a wishing well, and he's yelling out, "Where's me gran? I want me gran!" And we've done a lot of research on these products, and one thing that we learned, and this was surprising to me, do you know the number one thing that American women associate with Meghan Markle when they see her picture?
What's that?
Menstruation. So we're trying to come up with some feminine products and trying to figure out exactly how we can
You know. I'll tell you, your enterprise is growing by leaps and bounds. You got the little Archie thing coming out after the interview. You're looking at some Meghan Markle feminine products, and of course, all of your other lines of stuff. Anything else you're featuring? If we go to your website, what we might find at Bannister's Canisters
coming up that we'll have to order ahead of time, and it'll be a limited run. But just in time for St. Patrick's Day, we'll be bringing back our famous Harry Gingerhead cookies, where it's basically his face on a gingerbread.
Thank you, Roger,
Then we've made smaller cookies with Archie's face, with a little bubble coming out going, "Where's me gran? I want me gran."
All available at BannistersCanisters.com.
Mommy, will I ever see me gran?
Bye,
Mommy.
Bye, Roger.
What happened to me white gran?
Our main man, Roger Bannister.
Excitingly new, dramatically different.
Stan and Haney, 96 J-Rock.
We'll do traffic here in just a second. I've given Junior an hour to think about what we were discussing. And it's...
I still don't think it's necessary.
Well, I think we'll let him off the hook. I asked him to really think about the last 24 hours.
And I was using every bit of brain power I had to think.
Let me ask, and I'm going to let you think you thought of it, and we'll take it from there. And I'll give you little
hints. That's nice
hints.
Of you, Stan.
Yeah, I'll give you little hints.
Okay.
In the last 24 hours, has somebody... anybody done something nice for you that, I don't know, wasn't expected? Did anybody do something nice for you in the last 24 hours?
Yes.
And now I want you to think, I don't want to mention any names or anything that was done nice for you.
Okay.
Do you think whether on the air or off the air that a thank you in any way, shape, or form, a thank you would have been appropriate?
Did I not say thank you? To this person to whom it may concern, I would like to
But you prompted. You didn't do it on your own, which is
dude. I
really
must have forgotten.
Stinging.
That's not like
forgot.
Me. This is what this was about, dude. I forgot.
Well, let me go right to the beginning of the show.
It's just a social experiment.
It was a social experiment.
Come on, man.
See, yesterday,
it was a slip of the mind.
Because you have a new place that you're living at, and it's not very well equipped right now. And Mark Haney said he would help you. On his own, help you equip your home with something to make life in your new home just a little bit easier. So that happened. Mark comes into the studio at the beginning of the show. Now, I knew he did this because I saw him bring this particular item to the radio station. And so before we went on the air and...
it's kind of like a bet.
And you were doing your thing... Haney said to me, he said, "Stan, I have a question for you. I'd like you to ask me, how do you think this is going to turn out?" He said, "I don't honestly know, but I'd like your opinion. I gave Junior a piece of equipment yesterday." I said, "Yeah, I know exactly what you gave him." He said, "He hasn't said anything yet." He said, "Do you foresee, without being prompted, what we're doing now, do you foresee him saying..."
Of his own free will.
Of your own free will, saying,
thank you. Thank you for doing that for me, Haney. Thank you for thinking of me. And Haney looked at me and he said, I don't have an opinion one way or the other. What do you think, Stan? And I looked him straight in the eye.
He did.
And I said, unless he's prompted, he will not say thank you.
Won't say a word.
Won't say a word about it. On the air, off the air. And you didn't.
I accept responsibility for that. That is all 100% accurate. I can't believe I forgot to say thank you. Mm. That's not like me.
And if Haney's nerves weren't deadened...
Oh, yeah.
He would have
if been I still had feelings.
Yeah, he would have been offended.
But
because
I,
that's a pretty big thing he did.
But luckily for all of us, I no longer have feelings. So therefore, they can't be damaged.
Right.
They don't exist.
Yeah.
I'm just flabbergasted right now, man.
You should be.
I can't believe I didn't say thank you.
How dare you?
And you're priority number one.
And by the way,
because
you proved it.
Because as he was taking it out to his car, I even gave him some last-minute instructions on how to get the most out of it.
Yeah.
And he looked over at me and said, yeah, whatever, and threw it in his car.
Oh, I didn't say it.
And
like
by the way,
how did you say it?
I said, oh, okay.
Yeah, right out.
All right.
And by the way, when you, as a producer, when you answer the phone, it's K-Rock.
How do I answer the phone?
From from what I hear, it was a...
What?
And not even an acknowledgement.
Who said that? Every time I pick up the phone, I say K-Rock.
Well, the gentleman that called in just now, Junior, Tony, is an old friend of ours.
Oh, that dick, yeah.
Yeah, and he advised me... Because he was trying to call, but there was a problem with the line or something. And from his perspective, it didn't sound like anybody answered the phone. He just heard silence.
He's a liar.
Well, you know, Tony has been known to stretch the truth, Stan.
Oh, look at this.
What do you think?
I believe Tony. I would like to thank is not the same as actually thanking.
All right.
Can't even get that right. Don't worry, I got to do traffic. What? Brought to you by Firehouse Subs.
Not even going to give me the
County
opportunity?
Fort Myers, Cape Coral. You had your opportunity. Your opportunity all day. I would like to thank you, Haney.
And by
That's
the way.
Not thanking him.
Nobody wanted to bring this up. You demanded to be let off the hook.
Yeah. Nobody was going to say anything.
Well, it was driving me crazy. It's like, what did I do? What did I forget?
It's amazing.
But it never came to you.
Yeah, it never dawned on you to maybe thank somebody once.
Oh, come on. If he was prompted, he would have done it.
A time before
Cuba. If he was prompted.
When the local anchorman reigned supreme.
Nugget, what do you say to Mr. Henderson?
Oh, don't even. No, don't even now.
He gave him the
candy.
What do you
now.
Say to Mr. Henderson?
He's a good boy.
This was an age when only
he means well.
To read the news. One anchorman was more
if it had occurred to him,
yes.
It just didn't.
For his most respected anchorman.
Right, for some reason.
He was like a god walking amongst mere mortals. He had a voice that could make a wolverine purr. And suits so fine they made Sinatra.
What do you
like
say to Mr. Henderson for the word that was original?
Thank you, Mr. Henderson.
Stupid candy.
Hi, I'm Garrick Utley, and you're listening to Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Haney.
Good afternoon.
Yes, good afternoon.
This is the news. Telling it like it is, I'm Mark Haney. Time now for things you didn't know.
Okay.
You know when...
I'll tell you, I'm learning a lot today.
When we hear things in a foreign language... A lot of times they sound more appealing or exotic.
Yeah.
Like, for instance, let's say Stan travels to the Orient, and while there, he decides to purchase his wife a beautiful kimono.
Ah, yeah. Those can run some money, too, those silk kimonos.
And it sounds so nice. You're not giving her a bathrobe. You're giving her a kimono.
Mm-hmm.
But Japanese people aren't that impressed with it.
What do you mean?
Because when you translate kimono from Japanese to English,
yeah,
what the Japanese are calling a kimono, wear thing.
Huh. You got a wear thing on.
No, a kimono.
Yeah, but to them, that's wear thing.
Yeah.
Now, I imagine if we did the same thing and sold kimonos to the Japanese, but labeled them as wear thing, it would sound very American.
Yep.
If somebody gets it as a gift, they'll say thank you.
Are you going to give me my opportunity?
We gave you the last 3 hours.
We'd like to give you an opportunity.
We'd like to. Haney, I'd like to thank you. That's not the same thing.
Fun, forget it. Forget it.
What?
Oh, it's
forget it.
It's forgotten. Wasn't expected.
You know, if it's that important, I'll just go back and get it. I'll bring it back to you.
Oh.
That's it.
That hurts even more.
I don't need it. I'm fine.
Stan.
Haney.
Did I loan that item to him for him to give it back to me?
No, I don't believe so. You did it out of the goodness of your heart to help him out.
And I told him he was welcome to use it the entire weekend. I'd just like it back on Monday. Because, you see, Stan, there's something called empathy.
Mm-hmm.
And I put myself in this young man's position.
Yeah. How would you feel if you were in the same spot?
If I was in his position and I knew that I was going to be without internet all weekend and it would keep me from setting up all my electronics, being able to watch anything, play any games, that's a sucky position to be in.
Darn right.
It and stinks. if it was me, what would happen is either I'd solve the problem myself or I'd suck it up and just have no internet.
Yep.
And I wanted things to be easier.
Sure. Not have him go through what you would go through.
Yes. And how much would I appreciate it if someone did that for me?
Yep.
That's all.
Yep. I hear you.
I want you to enjoy that. Just return it on Monday. You really need it this weekend.
Here's the thing. I was trying to say thank you. But you won't even give me the opportunity.
I'm trying to.
So what I'm going to do is when I get home, I'm going to grab that thing. I'm going to drive back, give it back to you. And then I'm going to go home, read an effing book or something.
You have any idea how insulting that is, Dan?
Extremely insulting. We got to take a break.
I didn't even ask for a thank you.
You didn't. You didn't.
I never asked for a thank you. I simply made a wager with Stan as to whether one would be offered.
For the record, you instigated this.
How did I instigate
it? You instigated this.
I did not.
Now I'm all flustered.
That's Stan Luck.
Yeah, sure it is.
In a moment.
Hi, I'm Bill O'Reilly with today's good news. Here's Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, my colleague, Mark Haney.
Bill, you know, we do all these news stories, and every once in a while, I feel like I should remind you that in each and every one of these stories, at some point, this seemed like a great idea to somebody. Mm-hmm. This couple is from Ukraine, so good luck with the pronunciations.
All right, but thank you for saying Ukraine and not they're from the Ukraine. It's not that. It's Ukraine, like you said.
A 28-year-old beautician named Victoria Putsitsivo and a 30-year-old car salesman named Alexander Kudlay They were romantically involved. I guess married. But they were constantly fighting and breaking up and getting back together. And so they finally came up with a plan to permanently fix things. On Valentine's Day, they decided it would be a great idea, because they weren't getting along,
sure,
to handcuff themselves together. They've committed to being handcuffed together for 3 months.
That's
again,
stupid.
This seemed like a great idea to somebody. I don't know if it was Victoria or Alexander. I could guess. So far, Alexander says, without making eye contact with the reporter, quote, "Fights between us did not disappear. We still fight, but when we approach a dead end, we simply stop talking instead of packing our things and walking away."
Brilliant.
And he did answer the first question that popped into your head as well. When one is on the toilet, the other patiently sits on the ground outside the bathroom with their hand inside the bathroom.
Right. But you can still hear and smell.
And you're obligated to sit there for as long as it takes.
Yep. Sometimes, you know, one likes to bring a magazine.
Yep. Oh, no. There goes Alexander. He's got a hockey magazine with him. We go from Ukraine to Germany. Mm. Police in Western Germany recently solved a cold case, all thanks to a suspicious bite of sausage. 9 years ago, someone broke into a house and robbed the place. And while inside, the burglar took a bite out of a sausage.
Okay.
Well, the police finally got around to taking DNA from the sausage. And believe it or not, they got a hit. It matched the DNA from a guy that was involved in an unrelated crime in France.
Oh.
But this being Germany, it did them no good. Why?
Why?
Statute of limitations ran out on the burglary, so there's no point to any of it.
Do they know how long ago it happened?
9 years.
9 years. It's like waiting for a thank you.
Hello, I'm Bill Curtis of Investigative Reports. For our final story, here is Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Haney.
Bill, well, the only thing worse than waiting for a thank you is to have it thrown back in your face.
Yep, like, I'll just give it back.
Yeah, keep waiting, buddy boy.
A texter, there are a lot of people calling you names, Junior.
No, I know.
But a texter just said one thing. One thing. Junior, just without any caveats around it, without any "I'd like to, I haven't had time, it's Stan's fault."
Well, he said he blames it on
you.
Yeah,
of course.
Yeah, you started this whole thing.
I did not.
Yeah.
Just say thank you. That's it. Again.
I technically did.
I'd like to. And as a texter pointed out, I would like to.
That means
is
thank
not
you.
Thanking you. You'd like to do it, but.
Well, it's fine. I don't have to thank him anymore because I'm going to grab it, bring it back. That's it. Done.
That is so hurtful.
Wrap it up.
Can you believe?
Yeah.
The nerve.
The unmitigated gall.
Sorry about that, folks. Did I say Bill anywhere in there?
Yeah, you might have.
Bill.
Jeez.
On Tuesday night, a 20-year-old gent named Saran Young stole a pack of cigars from a convenience store in Dyersburg, Tennessee. Now, the owner of that store is 25-year-old Ode Suleiman. He does not like being stolen from.
I bet you.
To the point that when Sirhan stole the pack of cigars, Ode abandoned his store, got in his car, and chased him down. When he caught up with him, he said he had a gun, physically took back his pack of cigars, and as long as he was there, he also took Sirhan's cell phone and debit card.
Right on.
Now, Sirhan, the guy who swiped the cigars, flagged down the police. And at that point, I have a mental image of all three hockey officials huddling up by the penalty box, trying to figure out how to score this. Here's how it ended up. The store owner ended up being arrested for aggravated robbery, and Sirhan, the guy that stole the cigars, received a ticket for theft.
So is that Sirhan, or is that the other?
That's Ude.
That's Ude?
That's Ude. Yeah.
Wow.
I don't know why you have to ask that question.
Yeah. Looks like a major and a minor out of that. They didn't get matching penalties.
Nope. Because he got five,
yes.
And I think Sirhan is two, and he doesn't have to wait for a whistle.
Yeah.
Dun, 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 dun. And that's the news for today. I am Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman.
There he is, little Mikey Haney. Telling it like it is.
Stan?
Haney?
I want you to forbid him.
Evidently, when you want me, you want my opinion and stuff, it's my fault.
Yeah.
But what do you want me to do?
Save him from making a big mistake, because if he drives all the way out there and back with the item, with him having an infectious disease.
Yep, and you know what that means? He'll be back over at your house and come into your house, and not only that, drink whatever beer you have left.
Close already. You know what? People come over to my house, and I've got this nice little display of booze.
Yeah.
And it's all empty bottles now.
Yep. Because somebody comes over, you know.
Hey, look at that. What is that, novelty whiskey?
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
To return something.
I would like to thank you for that.
I would like to.
And you know what? I would like to say that you're welcome. I would like to.
But he won't.
He's the one that wanted to be left off the hook.
Yep.
In the radio studios of America, the technicians, the entertainers, the commentators, the administrative personnel daily unite their efforts in the creation of programs to please and entertain the vast radio public. Everyone from newscaster to the lonely night shift engineer to the station's president share in the task of bringing to the public
Stan and Haney,
the type of program it likes to hear.
96 K-Rock.
Ahoy, K-Rock.
Hey!
Tony D'Amico, my friend, we've patched up our differences. You're okay in my book. Tony D'Amico from Cape Crepe and Chowder up there in Cape Coral. How are you, buddy?
I am doing fantastic, given all the madness in the air.
Little play on words there, my friend.
Yeah, I most certainly am.
You
know, a lot of people don't realize.
Yes.
Because we are a Chowder landmark.
You're right. The home of the milk.
We're not just a five-star white tablecloth dining experience.
You've never been that. Go ahead.
We are also a wonderful place to watch sports.
Since when? Tell me, since when? First of all, I've never known you to be a basketball fan, period. You've never followed the game as long as I know. You're not white tablecloth at Cape Crepe and Chowder. Fine dining experience. It's...
Thank you, Dan.
Why are you calling me? First of all, I mean...
I'm just calling to say hello to a friend.
Yeah, and what?
And also let all the good people know that Cape Crepe and Chowder is your one-stop shop for all the basketball nonsense.
If you're showing free TV, just the local CBS affiliates covering of the basketball tournament, you better not be charging any kind of cover, because that's illegal.
I am charging a cover, and it's worth every penny.
It is not worth every penny!
If you want to call it a cover charge, then you go ahead and do so, but that is misleading the public.
You're misleading the public.
I charge $17.95 a head, and the basketball is just a bonus.
Oh,
what
so
you're paying for is a sumptuous green buffet featuring corned beef and cabbage.
Wait.
And Shamrock Surprise. All you can eat.
Wait a second. All you can eat for how much?
$17.95.
But let me explain. That sounds like St. Patrick's Day stuff. That's good. You're serving St. Patrick's Day food.
Stan.
Is that what you're doing? Tony, hold it a second.
Stan, if this is the way you want to play it, if you want to beat up on an old man trying to make a living, then go ahead.
You're trying.
Here's
to,
what happened.
You're trying to cheat the public.
I had leftover food from St. Patrick's Day that is probably turned. I went into my back bedroom and brought that TV to the restaurant and hooked it up to the antenna. Is that how you want to play it? Because I'll tell you, I am sick and tired of this country taking a dump on a small businessman.
You're ripping people off!
I'm not ripping people off. They're ripping me off. Everybody in this country thinks everything should be handed to them, and that they can just go willy-nilly and file a lawsuit on anybody they want to. And I'm talking to you, Patricia Strickland.
All right, well, you know what?
I'm tired of people stealing from me.
Okay. People are stealing from you, too? What are you talking about, people are stealing from you? Who's stealing
Dan,
from you?
One of the reasons that I brought in the TV from the back bedroom is because it's got a built-in VCR.
So it's
and
like
now
a
it got HQ circuitry with four heads. Now, I don't know what that means, other than it's a good, clear picture if you adjusted tracking. What I have done.
Yeah.
It is a scene straight out of To Catch a Thief. Because somebody
is stealing from you.
They're stealing from me, Stan, and I'm going to catch them. Somebody is lifting toilet paper out of the bed.
There isn't anybody lifting toilet unless there's a bum walking into your place. Tony, please stop for just a second. Because I don't wanna rain on your parade. I'd like you to make a...
Stan, please, after all these years, call me Mr. D'Amico. Tony was my father.
I want to get things straight with you. I just want to understand what you're doing, because you obviously are calling me because you want to promote some kind of rip-off thing that you're doing. I mean, some kind of fun thing that you're doing.
Truth be told, yes.
Okay. You smoking?
Yeah, is that a problem?
No, not at all.
Let me explain to you the day that Tony has had.
Okay.
I am hanging on by a thread.
I knew that for a year. Who's trying to take your business away? And put down the cigarette for just a second to talk to me.
Don't presume, sir, to tell me what to smoke. Or when to smoke.
Well, you're having a conversation with somebody. Proper politeness would say, put down the cigarette and talk to me, instead of taking another...
I think the word you're looking for is etiquette.
Well, yeah, have some proper etiquette on the phone.
As I've told you before, Stan,
you want people to drop
there are times when you come across as very common.
And you come across as a slob.
Pardon me?
You heard me. You're trying to go and rip people off. People are and you're smoking.
No,
sitting
the
in your
people
tornado.
Are trying to rip me off because they think Tony's an old softy.
Yeah. You get people, what, tell me, what now? People are doing this to you all the time, you old man.
Dad.
Tony.
I deal with a good paper company.
Okay.
And I take delivery on paper towels and toilet paper.
Okay. Don't know why.
I keep very close track of my inventory.
You're right.
As a courtesy to the customer, I always make sure that there is more than enough toilet paper to accommodate anyone.
Well, you should. You run a restaurant.
I keep one on the roll. And then I keep multiple rolls underneath the sink, the vanity.
What is
it? By the way, we just replaced 2 years ago.
Right, the vanity.
I insist on a quality restroom.
And you just have one restroom in the place where it has both the girl and the guy first come, first serve.
Well, it's boys and girls.
Uh-huh.
But.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, the goals restroom suffered water damage, and that is shut down permanently.
So you got
and
just
so
one.
Now everybody has to use the buoys.
But that's in that's a health code violation.
Oh, it's unisex.
Okay.
And you know I'm famous for having ice in the urine.
Yeah, always that. Keeping it fresh. Never mind.
No.
Never mind a urinal cake. Just put ice
in there. I noticed that I was going through toilet paper like it was going out of style.
Yes, sir.
And to the tune of about 3 rolls a week, were walking out of the restaurant.
Yeah, whole 3 rolls.
Now, I have a regular here by the name of Patricia Strickland.
Yes, tell
and
me about
she comes by at least once a week, sometimes twice.
Patricia does.
And she carries a very large bag.
Big handbag on Patricia Strickland.
And I would have never thought it. Because she is a long-time customer.
Only customer.
And I thought that it was her stealing the toilet paper.
Right.
But I can't go put my hands on a woman or her handbag.
That's correct.
So in order to prove it, I drilled a hole.
You did what?
Between the storage room and the bathroom.
You can't do that!
And I have a video camera.
You can't do that!
And a still camera with a fisheye lens.
Why is that your problem?
So that I can see all angles, including where the toilet paper is stored. And evidently, I did not do a proper job of camouflage.
She spotted the hole in the wall, didn't she?
She saw the hole and then saw the camera.
Right. And she
told me she's going to take me for everything I got.
She can. She caught you red-handed on that, you perv.
Well, she caught me before I could catch her.
Is she?
And guess what? Patricia Strickland.
You
Cody had no interest in seeing your hoo-ha.
You can't have cameras drilled into a wall.
What person in their right mind would think that I, Tony D'Amico, for Christ's sake,
yeah,
would want to see people's private
part. I, for one, know that you'd probably do it, you creep.
Oh, you're
a creep. You know what? You're all worried. She caught you red-handed. You got cameras with a fisheye lens in the one working bathroom you got.
Well, believe you
because
me.
3 rolls of toilet paper are missing a week. Not that they might be used, but then again, nobody's using that bathroom. You are $17.95 to eat spoiled food, watch a basketball game, one game.
I bought that TV in from my own back bedroom.
And you got a surveillance camera on the one working restroom, and then you caught because somebody's stealing effing toilet paper.
There's no need for 2 restrooms. That one restroom has a urinal and a sit-down crapper.
Right, and you got yourself caught by, what's her name, Patricia Strickland?
Patricia Strickland.
Right. Who is going to take you? Not that you got anything, except
spoiling. Let me tell you this, Patty. If I go to Patty's house,
yeah,
Miss Patricia Strickland,
yes,
I would be willing to bet. I'd bet hard money. And when I break into her house tonight, I am going to see a minimum of 3 rolls of Pillow Soft premium facial tissue.
I don't believe this. First of all,
and they are the double stuff rolls.
I understand. Double, 2-ply? Wait a second.
No, these are 4-ply.
Wait a second.
Where they got like the little needle holes there.
Right, quilted.
Right.
All right, look.
What I get for providing quality.
It ain't quality, it's crap.
Now, and I ordered extra because I figured if people are going to be eating this corned beef and cabbage that's turned, they're going to need some toilet paper.
All right, you're not going to be able to break into our house tonight, and don't do that for 3 lousy rolls.
I got a good mind to.
But hey, you know what? I'm going to put you in a good mood. I'm going to give you a 30 seconds of free advertising. Tony, what do you got going on tonight at Cape Crepe and Chowder?
Hey,
buddy.
I'm glad you asked, Dan. Come support the small businessman who is humble of heart and sound of mind.
Yeah, well.
I say this because with this price, I must be crazy. But I'm not. $17.95 for corned beef and cabbage and Shamrock Surprise. Now you may be asking yourself, the good people of Cape Carol, what exactly is a Shamrock Surprise?
What is Shamrock Surprise, Tony?
It's a clover leaf shaped gelatin bowl. Green jello.
Okay, $17.95.
Right.
All right, Tony. Hey, thanks, buddy. You're something else. And don't go break into that woman's house tonight.
Said I want to thank you sincerely.
Absolutely,
for
you.
Advertising.
Right, yeah, that's right. Another, just think about that, Tony. Another free ad going your way. Another.
You know what?
What?
I tried to thank you, and then you throw it in my face again.
There you go again. Always.
Let me tell you something, friend. You come into my restaurant and you're starving and you got no money. You're gonna eat.
Yeah, and
so
I'll end up
all you're
sick.
Doing is doing what I do for you.
Ah, you don't do nothing for me. You don't do nothing.
Sick.
Yeah, shut up.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.